What's up, Gators? Welcome back to The Bite Back, the official bite-sized podcast of the student uprising at San Francisco State. My name is Cole, and the conclusion to our sit-down with organizers from the Student Dance Union is still headed your way this Friday. But in the meantime, we wanted to quickly let you guys know about something super exciting that's happening on campus this Thursday that involves every single last one of you. If you haven't already heard, the Student Union has been working on a set of demands to bring forward to university admin in the hopes of fostering open talks, which give student and faculty a louder voice than they have when it comes to administrative decisions, such as budget cuts, AI initiatives, and restrictions to campus expression that most directly impact our education and our faculty's livelihoods. This Thursday at 5, organizers from English, Poli-Sci, Mathematics, and Cinema invite students to share their thoughts on these five demands, which will then be amended and voted on by you, the student body. And here to tell us more is Japney and Rue from the English department. Guys, welcome. Let's just jump right into it. Kind of briefly tell me how these set of demands initially came to be.
Thank you so much for having us, Cole. I would start with the fact that I had a global text class last semester. It kind of started there with us having a discussion about neoliberalism, and then that led to us talking about the budget cuts on campus and how to resist them. Our professor had a lovely idea of hosting a student faculty assembly, but the issue is we didn't know if there was enough energy and momentum in the English department for us to just set a date and then expect people to show up. And so we decided to put together a petition, which would be the goal of having half our department commit to coming to an assembly, or at least committing to following the actions and demands that we vote on at the assembly. And we met that goal just a couple weeks ago. And so now we're hosting this assembly this Thursday, as you mentioned. We had also been meeting every week to monitor this petition and then also discuss what we would talk about at the assembly. And so that's how we came up with these demand proposals. Also by including discussions that had been happening in CFA about what would be good to pressure administration around.
And let's just jump right into these demands. So first, fund our classes. We have a tendency, I think, as organizers, to use class cuts as kind of a blanket term for what we're seeing unfold on our campus, but it goes well beyond simply just having fewer enrollment options. What else do class cuts tail exactly?
Yeah, exactly. It's very drastic right now. Part of the reason we want to hold it so soon is because the faculty got an email from Provost at SFSU, Amy Tsuyoshi, just a couple weeks ago saying they're going to cut entire degrees, which is just insane. And so we want to make sure they're funding these degrees instead of cutting them.
Yeah, and we are not just being threatened. Class caps and class thresholds have been raised. Now, what's the difference? A class cap is the amount of students that are allowed into a class. Now, this while this may sound good on the surface, with more students to be able to get into a class, it actually gives the university a reason to cut smaller sections of classes and make it more difficult to schedule. Moreover, your actually quality of education decreases, because with a larger class means more time the teacher or professor has to spend managing the class and not interacting with students. Now, a class minimum is the minimum amount of students needed or required for a class to begin. And by raising that, it makes it more difficult for classes with smaller sizes to happen. And they can get pushed next semester, further pushing back students' graduation timeline. And the worst part of all of this is that when you cut classes, you're cutting faculty, you're cutting lecturers. And we've seen this in the humanities, specifically in the English department, where we've lost 56 lecturers. We only have 4 lecturers. And this is a story that's told throughout the university.
On top of this, what really cuts to the bone is that as these jobs are getting cut, faculty don't even have transparency, much less the students. We don't know what class caps are actually going to be raised. Our English department doesn't even know if class minimums are getting raised. We know for sure they are in the cinema department, but the news is all over and the university makes it so hard to figure out this information. And so while they keep telling us, we're doing this because we care about you, we're doing this because our hands are tied, it's very simple to just be transparent and upfront with information. And even with that basic thing, they're not able to do it. Furthermore, we know that this is hypocritical because they say that they don't have the money because SFSU is in a budget deficit, but the CSU has historically been able to bail out schools before when they're in that kind of position, and they have the money to do so right now. $8 billion is with the CSU, and instead of investing in us, they're investing that into high-risk stock market portfolios, which means they're basically hoping certain companies are able to make some more money, and they're gambling this on this kind of hope. But instead, they should be putting that money towards our education, since we are a public university system.
And student faculty oversight of the AI budget. We've already invested nearly $17 million into OpenAI at this point. Even if the technology is technically applicable in a lot of STEM fields, what's at stake when administration applies that same logic of applicability campus-wide in every department, especially in fields like the creative arts, where generative AI poses a real and imminent threat to our ability to find jobs after graduation?
Well, what it poses is also just the fact that we're not receiving a quality education. SFSU is in a self-proclaimed budget crisis, and yet the CSU is able to not just rely on the $17 million that you mentioned from the California government, but invest $7 million of its own dollars as an essential priority. Why are we spending millions when our basic needs are not even getting met? Regardless of how you feel about AI in your specific department, all of us, while we were making these proposals, can agree that student and faculty should have control over the budget and over the AI policies before money goes towards AI. We can't take back the millions they've already spent, but we can say until you give us that student faculty control, you're not allowed to renew the contract this June. And that would mean millions more go towards our education rather than towards AI.
In response to the threat of ICE presence on our campus in recent months, administration solution thus far has just been to get UPD involved. Why do you think that's so problematic? And what should they be doing instead?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask anybody to deal with ICE and to get UPD involved and get the police involved, it has been shown to be continually ineffective and just not a solution that is viable. And so what we've been talking about in our meetings and in the union is that we already have, through the CFA and students, rapid response networks that are being built, that are monitoring if ICE is on or near campus, and is trying to cut down the number of false claims. And now what we're asking for the university to do is to fund these student and faculty efforts to build a rapid response network within SFSU and spread Know Your Rights information, like closing your doors and knowing where to go. This is so important, and the university is sort of just waving us off. So they need to fund this rapid response network and our efforts to protect our students, because it seems like we're the only ones that are trying to protect ourselves.
With protecting free speech on our campus as well, I'm assuming a lot of that has to do with TPM policies and the federal government's continued assault on higher education in the name of quote-unquote fighting anti-Semitism and that kind of looming over the CSU system right now. Kind of same with the last question. What should admin be doing to defend students' rights to free speech on campus?
If you look at the news right now, repression has been all over our country. And so it seemed very important that we have a protect free speech demand as a part of all of this. The way that we're making this actionable for the university is around the fact that the CSU is under federal investigation for anti-Semitism. At UC Berkeley, over 100 names were already given to the federal government with this conflation of anti-Semitism and pro-Palestine work. Similarly, at CSULA, a lot of pro-Palestine names were being given to the federal government. SFSU is one of the only universities that has won divestment. That means that at SFSU, our money is not going towards any companies that are involved in making weapons towards the genocide. That's huge. And it also means a lot of student and faculty were involved in making that win. We want to make sure and get a commitment that SFSU will never give those student and faculty names to the federal government.
Absolutely. And our fifth and final demand here, fund our dorms. This one is interesting because I feel like you'll have a lot of students who'd probably say, oh, but look at this new flashy dorm building they just built. Everything's so glossy and state of the art. Like, housing is fine. What are people talking about? Is that just a facade then?
No, it's not a facade. And I have to say that some students do live in housing on campus that is perfectly fine. But this is not the story for all students. And as it's not the story for all students, that's why it's unacceptable. If you look at the Marys and Towers, specifically the Marys, students have reported black mold, asbestos, animal infestation, fleas. The list goes on. And the university's solution to this has been to really just ignore it, to focus on building their new flashy dorm. And while they don't allow students to live in there during the fall and spring semesters, they do force students to live in there during the summer semesters. And the same is true for towers. We have reports of students' fleas and it being just an overall unlivable environment. And so what we're asking the university to do is that students needing on-campus housing during the summer semester will be placed in other housing beside the Marys. And a third party will inspect all the dorms and write a detailed report of the issues that will be used to build a plan forward for improving the conditions of living on campus. Because if you look at this as a whole, the university has failed us from an administrative standpoint. It has failed us from an academic academic standpoint, and it is failing students from an accommodation standpoint. They do all these things out of the guise for us, but they're really putting profit over people, profit over students. And when you look at it, we're the only ones that really care about each other.
And that brings us to this General Assembly that's happening on Thursday, if we haven't already made that abundantly clear. Thursday. tell me how that's going to unfold, and especially for listeners who might not know what a General Assembly is, just explain what that is and how that works.
Yes, exactly. So that's going to be on November 13th at 5 p.m. in our English Lounge. That's Humanities 485. It's also going to be on Zoom because we got to keep it accessible. So it's going to be bit.ly/assemblyzoom if you want to join online. And the idea around this General Assembly is that student and faculty are repeatedly not involved in the choices on how this university is run. So they definitely should be involved in the choices around how we resist that. So we're going to come together and communally discuss these demands. We're going to go over these demands again in a presentation, have breakout groups where people are able to propose whatever changes they want to make, have full group discussion where we vote on those amendments, vote on the demands. And then if there's enough people who turn out to this assembly, we're also going to be emailing these demands to the president and be demanding that they negotiate with us on how they can meet these demands. At the General Assembly, we're also going to vote on some sort of escalation proposal. It's a very real possibility that the university will just ignore us when we email them these demands. And so how are we actually going to pressure this administration repeatedly and consistently until these very bare minimum things are met? The idea that we have so far that we're going to propose at Assembly is that if the university does not set a negotiation date by the end of the semester, we will walk out the second week of school next semester. And then also, if they still do not set a date after that, we're going to host a second General Assembly where we discuss on what next escalation to do afterwards.
Jebneet, Rue, it's been lovely. Thank you so much for your time today. I love talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been amazing.
God damn it, the kids are right.
And that does it for this little mini-sode of the Bite Back. Wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you so much, as always, for stopping by. Go to the General Assembly this Thursday. Once again, it is this Thursday. It starts at 5 p.m. in room 485 of the Humanities Building. And as Jebneet was telling us, you can also join remotely using the link bit.ly/assemblyzoom. That's bit.ly/assemblyzoom. You can find all this information as well as the demands and our action proposal at SFSU Student Union on Instagram. This podcast was produced by myself with engineering help from Cloud Wong, who popped into the studio super duper last minute to help us out. We love you, Cloud. Thanks for being here. It was edited and mixed by Natasha Lin and recorded at KSFS. Once again, my name is Cole, and I better see all of you at the GA this Thursday. Until then, take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.